an answer of faith and power. Thank you because all of the gifts are working in this place. Thank you, oh God. Thank you because you're touching every life, transforming every life. Thank you for the move of your spirit. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I have you sit? Glory to God. Okay, so tonight, I just came to open up your appetite. Praise God. Just came to open up your appetite. And we'll just share along some lines. And I want to beg you, be as sensitive as possible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be as sensitive as possible. A lot of things are happening all at the same time. Praise God. Amen, amen. God is not done with you. There's glory on you now. It's not done with you. When you got up, I wanted to say that, but you know, maybe this is a good time. There's power in you now. It's working on you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Glory to you. It's okay. It's allowed. Praise God. Amen. We hope that we'll be able to teach tonight. Glory to God. But as he moves, we yield. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to his name. I'm doing my best to just calm down and teach God's word, but we will yield. Praise God. Hallelujah. Learn to be filled with the Holy Ghost every day. Learn to be full of the Spirit every time. Learn to yield to the leading and the promptings of the Holy Ghost. For in the fullness of the Spirit, there are influences and activities. There are things that man wouldn't ordinarily be able to do, but in the fullness of the Spirit is then able to do. For in the fullness of the Spirit, the eyes see clearer. In the fullness of the Spirit, the ears hear more audibly. In the fullness of the Spirit, the mouth speaks from the heart boldly. In the fullness of the Spirit, the hands do valiantly the miraculous. In the fullness of the Spirit, the plan of God is able to be done. In the fullness of the Spirit, it is easy or easier to walk in all of the gifts of the Spirit. For the gifts of the Spirit are ours. The gifts of the Spirit are mine. The gifts of the Spirit, that which the Spirit bestows. For he has opened up in us miraculous faculties. Faculties to see, hear, to know, and to do supernaturally. So I will be filled with the Holy Ghost every day. I will obey the instruction in the Word of God and stay full of the Spirit. I'll stay full of the Spirit. I'll stay full of the Spirit. Every day I'll be filled with the Spirit. Every day I'll be filled with the Spirit. Every day I'll be filled with the Spirit. I'll make this a commitment in 2025 to be filled with the Spirit every day. For in the fullness of the Spirit every day, the move of God is seen on the earth. In the fullness of the Spirit every day, the harvest is possible. In the fullness of the Spirit every day, the passion and the zeal for the Lord, his saints, and for his kingdom to see more souls coming is then possible. In the fullness of the Spirit, the local church will blossom. In the fullness of the Spirit, the local church will increase. In the fullness of the Spirit, the many dark places will be lit up by the light and the power of God. So I will stay full of the Spirit. I will stay full of the Spirit. I will be full of the Holy Ghost every day. And surely I'll be that treasure and that vessel that the Lord will use every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual, and of course, the word spiritual, pneumaticos, a word that simply means the things of and the pertain to the Spirit. That is the things that belong to or relate to the spirit. Okay? In other words, you can say spiritual things. You know, if the translators had said spiritual things, it probably would have been spot on, as it were. You know, I'm sure if you have my kind of Bible, you find the word gifts there, italicized, which means that it was put there by the translators to ensure that the sentence or the statement is well in sync with the language in which they translated to and the message of it all. You know, but the word spiritual is a word that simply means things of the spirit. Okay? You know, if you have a bag and then you want to maybe get into a store or the bank or the airport, and then they say, what do you have in the bag? And then say, bring it, let's check it. And then you present your bag, and then maybe the person in charge begins to rough handle your stuff. And then you say, hey, be careful with my things. Are you there? That is the things in that bag that are yours that belong to you. Your phone may be there, maybe a comb, maybe a wallet, maybe this, maybe that, all of those things that are your personal possessions. Are you there? Things. Okay? So you can say, my things or things that belong to me. Praise God. Okay? So when it comes to the things of the spirit, it simply means there are things that relate to or belong to the spirit. There are things that as a result of the presence of the spirit, you will always find them there. Hallelujah. As long as I am there, my bag will be there. As long as my bag is there, my things will be in my bag. Does that make sense? Praise God. So my things are with me, okay? So when it comes to the things of the spirit, we must begin to adjust in our minds, praise God, that where the presence of the spirit is things are there. Glory to God. So concerning the things of and that pertain to the spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And ignorance can be in three levels. You know, you could be ignorant about the facts. That is, you don't even know anything about them. Then you could be ignorant about putting to use the facts that you have. Okay, I know what this thing is, but I don't know how to use it. That's ignorance. Praise God. Are you there? That's ignorance. You know, some of us, it will amaze us what our phones can do. And we've owned it for a year. And we don't know yet. Amen? So that's ignorance as well. Now, another level of ignorance has to do with when the things of the spirit are in demonstration, when they are in manifestation, and we don't know how to relate with them or how to flow with them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so a part of ignorance can be that the Spirit of God inspires us to prophesy, then we prophesy, then when we're done prophesying, you say, praise God. No. It wasn't a show. It wasn't a performance. Who were you clapping for? Are you there? Say, woo! No. It wasn't entertainment. The Spirit of God was talking to us. Who is the Spirit of God? He is God. Amen? So what do? You worship God. Hallelujah. You don't celebrate. You worship. Or you act on what he has said. Praise God. You act on what he has said. Hallelujah. You know, so if the Spirit of God says to us right now, be full of laughter, you just act. Praise God. Okay, some people are sensitive, right? You just act, that's all. That's all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We must continue. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that's a demonstration of the Spirit, but it's possible that maybe one or two persons are not used to it. You know, that's part of the ignorance, okay? It's not to call you names or insult you, no. It simply means you're not used to it, okay? You don't know, maybe you've not seen it before, or you don't know what to do, you know, in such situations, amen. But what did we read in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1? Now, concerning the things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So you must have information. You must know what to do with the information. And you must know how to yield or respond to the things when they are in demonstration. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, so like we were saying before, you would not be clapping like you were being entertained by the Spirit of God. No, you lift your hands or you act on what he has said. Glory to God. That's how to respond to utterances by the Spirit of God. That's how to respond. That's how to respond. When you see a certain demonstration in manifestation or a demonstration, right? What you do is respond. You yield. The things of God are by faith, and they will always be. They are by faith. Praise God. Have you thought about it that if someone asked you if you were present, and I'm not referring to by identification right now, but if you were present when Jesus died on the cross, and if he really died, and if his death is sufficient for your forgiveness, you know, you may have a hard time providing evidence. Praise God. You know, you may have a hard time. Say, well, I believe it, right? The Bible says so, which is great, all right? So what am I saying? It means that when it comes to the things of God from the point of salvation, we respond by faith. Faith simply means that I agree that it's true. I rely on it. I acknowledge. I depend on it. I simply depend on what I have been told. I may not be able to tell you that I was there when and where Jesus died on the cross. And that is why I believe in the gospel of the grace of God of salvation, and I acknowledge that I'm born again. So the day I got born again, it wasn't about a feeling. It was that I believed in my heart what was preached to me. Does that make sense? So when it comes to flowing with the Holy Ghost or doing the things of God, right, that faith or that walking by faith will yet continue. Colossians 2:6, as you have received the Lord, so walk ye in him. So the same way you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you believe that you are saved, you are a son of God now, you're born again, your sins are forgiven, the same way you agree with the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. You agree with the truth of God's word. Amen. You agree with the truth of God's word. Okay? And agreeing simply means that I rely upon the truth of God's word. That's faith. I consider it true. That's faith. Praise God. So if we see in God's word that we have the Spirit of God, then I acknowledge it. If we see in God's word that when the Spirit of God came, it came with endowments. And that's what we call gifts of the Spirit. I acknowledge it. I don't have to feel like they are there. I simply, by faith, acknowledge that they are there. Does that make sense? Hey, are you here? I simply acknowledge that they are there. If we are told not to be ignorant, but to yield to the Holy Ghost, then I'll just yield. Praise God. You know, some will wonder, why do we laugh? We laugh because we have instructions in God's word to laugh. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we learned that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. And our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Hallelujah. So we just act on the word. It says he has filled our mouth with laughter. Now, let me explain something there. You know, if I do like this, is my mouth filled with laughter? If I do like this, is my mouth filled with laughter? If I do like this, is my mouth filled with laughter? Oh, so it's still not filled. So, well, then I'm filled. Hallelujah. We must learn to act on the word. It's not about how you feel. It's about what the word of God says. Amen. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. In Psalm 2, it says, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. And I realize in Ephesians 2 that I'm seated with him in heavenly place. Hallelujah. So what do? I laugh with he that sits in heaven. As he laughs, so I laugh. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you then think, why should I laugh? I don't feel like laughing. No, it's not about how you feel. Have you felt like you were not born again sometimes? Or you feel like, if Jesus comes like this, will I go? The Spirit of God has been telling you for 3 weeks, pray. You did not pray. You have been doing all kinds of things. Like this. The way I am like this. If Jesus should come like this. So you can't depend on your feelings when it comes to the things of God. No, you rely on truth. Praise God. So, it's easy to connect the dots. Psalm 126, he did great things for them. Their mouths were filled with laughter. Psalm 2, he himself who sits in heaven laughs. Ephesians 2, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Except we're not conscious of our environment. Amen? I'm conscious of my environment. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. He laughs. Seated. I laugh. Seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, so we're warming up, right? We're warming up. So when it comes to the things of the Spirit, faith is what is required. Faith is not, I feel good about it, so I will do it. No, faith is, it is true. And let's get on it. Amen. If you have been in an aircraft to fly from one place to the other, you would recollect your first time when you got in there and then you began to feel a certain way. And then it took off and then you were wondering if it will not fall off. But you sat in there At least by faith, either you paid money or somebody paid money. I have paid, so at least other people are here, so let's keep going. Let's keep going. I've been in one before that was sounding like it was going to go off. You know, and in the airplane, there's a lot of composure. People are afraid, but composed. By the time the plane lands, you just say, praise God! Ah! So you were afraid. You know, so you're seated there, and then it goes, and you're like, hope this thing, with all the feelings, and then, what's this? But you're there. You just follow, right? And when it's going to land, you say, okay, we're about to land. And then it just goes, boom! But before you are able to say that, you look around, everybody's composed. You too, you compose yourself. And then you're hearing, boom, 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 boom. I mean, your heart is playing beats for you in fear. And then it stops. You're like, praise God. Praise God. But you were in there, right? You didn't say, what kind of plane is this? And you open the window and jump out. Just kidding. Amen? No. But you just follow. So, when it comes to the things of God, simple faith does a whole lot. You don't put yourself in a position where you're trying to argue with everything. You're trying to imagine you got in the plane and then you're arguing with the pilot. You know, don't you know it can fall? Are you telling me that this plane cannot fall? Are you saying no plane has fallen before? This plane can fall. Just agree. Oh yeah, stop. We're not going again. No, you don't do that. Right? Let's even leave the plane. Maybe some vehicles. You find. Well, don't let me say anything for that. Amen? Praise God. So, again, this is not part of my notes. So, it means the Spirit of God wants you to hear this. That when it comes to the things of God, faith is crucial. Not that I feel okay about it, or I don't feel, based on my feelings, or I've seen this before, or in our own church, I've never seen this kind of thing before. Or, how can everybody just be laughing? Are you sure it's not a demonic spirit? No, it's not. It's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We are just laughing. Are you not yielding to familiar spirits? No, we are not. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. So when it comes to the things of God, faith is important. Okay? That simply means, we can be full of definitions that were not as practical as possible. And that's why I'm trying to give the illustrations. Faith simply means that you go along with it. You just agree. You just say, okay. Have you gone to a place before, maybe a home or a different culture or country, and then they set before you a meal that you have never seen nor eaten before? Right? And then you say, let's try it. Huh? Praise God. I mean, we don't even need to go far. For something like shawarma, is it your native food? Of course it's not. Or pizza. But you saw it one day, you tried it. You heard here, you heard there, it's nice. And then you tried it. Simple faith, just to agree. Okay, let's go along with it. Okay, you show me in God's word. The Bible says this in Psalm 126, says that in Psalm 2, says this in Ephesians 2, so I can laugh, and then I begin to laugh. I don't have to feel like it. Praise God. I say, I died with him. Well, I wasn't there. But the truth and the fact of God's word says that I was identified with him. when he died on the cross. And that's why today I'm born again. Of course, by faith in the resurrection. It's not some feeling. It's that I agree that it is true. Praise God. I agree that it is true. So, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we'll mention a few shortly, you must immediately, as soon as you see it in God's word, yield yourself to it. You must yield your heart. When we prepared for this meeting, we prayed that even the person who got born again yesterday will walk in all the gifts today. That's what I was saying earlier when I said, I have enough faith for you. We have prayed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everyone. Not at the end of the conference or the meeting, we now say, yes, we saw all the gifts. No. We'll see tonight. We have seen. Amen. If all have not been in demonstration, they will be before we leave tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I would not have you ignorant. So you must be knowledgeable. You must have information. And you must put the information to use. And you must be in the right places where you see the things of the Spirit in demonstration. In demonstration. It helps a lot. In demonstration. I mean, if you've never been on a roller coaster, for instance, you can just watch, it can just be described to you, the feeling, until you get in there, before you understand it. I believe that people need to be prepared, prepped, before getting on a roller coaster. Some people can just have a heart attack and just pass on to glory from there. Amen? So, you must be around the things of the Spirit where you see them in demonstration. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's move on. I don't have much to say tonight, but if you leave me, we can be here till midnight. Praise God. So, verse 2 says, "Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried around to dumb idols even as you were led." Now, dumb idols will simply refer to silent idols. They can't speak. They can't speak. They are silent. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So it takes the Spirit of God for a man to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. John 16 from verse 7 to 15, particularly 7 to 9. How that it will convince the world of sin. Of sin because they believe not on me. Verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." There are diversities of abilities. Of miraculous faculties. That's the meaning of the word gifts. Of supernatural or spiritual endowments. There are diversities. Diversity simply means various or different kinds. In verse 5, it says there are differences of administrations. Administrations can also mean ministries. Ministries. But the same Lord. Now in 6, it says that under diversity of operations, but the same God will work it all in all. Okay, operations there will simply mean workings. So there are various kinds or different kinds of workings, but it is God who is working all in all. Does that make sense? Now verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." You know, we sang earlier that we come behind in no gifts. Amen? We sang earlier that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every believer. Okay? the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8 then says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, can we read together? But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, don't forget how we started. We are following Paul. He started by saying, I do not want you. What does he say? Brethren, that is every believer. Everyone in the brotherhood. Everyone in Christ. Okay? Not pastors. Not leaders. Not bishops. Not apostles. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. And then he tells you about the things of the Spirit. There are diversities of gifts. Those are the things of the Spirit. Differences of administrations. Then differences or various kinds of workings. Those are the things of the Spirit. So all of these things, Paul says, every believer ought not to be ignorant, except we don't want to believe or agree with the word of God. Hallelujah. But it's from this Bible that we believe that we're born again. So we would agree with the same Bible on other subjects. Praise God. Can we read verse 1 again? 1 Corinthians 12. All together, one to go. Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You see brethren there? Okay, so it means tonight, every one of us cannot afford to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. And we have said, ignorance will be not to even know anything at all about them. So, discerning of spirits, what's that? You know, gift of faith, what does it mean? You ought to be informed. Okay? And don't forget, information is to lead you into experiences. Information is to lead you into experiences. So if part of ignorance is lack of information, then there will be lack of experiences. Does that make sense? So, and don't forget, we have talked about the ignorance, not to have information or the facts, not to know what to do with the facts, even if you have the facts. That's also some form of ignorance. Okay? And then some form of ignorance is not to know what to even do with them when they're in demonstration or when they're in manifestation, not to know how to yield. That's some form of ignorance. And Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. Praise God. Okay. So, he says, don't be ignorant. Then he tells you about the gifts, the ministries, the operations. Then he tells you that the manifestation is given to every man. Can you see that? Verse 7. So that everyone can profit. Praise God. So I want you to remember this, that God gave you the gifts so that others can profit from it. So if you are ignorant where you are seated, it means there will be a problem. Or let me not use problem. There will be a deficiency. It means what ought to get to the person beside you may not get to them because there's a deficiency. Does that make sense? What ought to reach another person will not get to them because there's a deficiency. Why? From God's word, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. So the reason you have these things is not so that you can be happy about it, that I have them all, and that's it. No. It is so that you can be a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. So the less ignorant you are, the more a blessing you are. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
The less ignorant you are, the more a blessing you are. And you know the same is true the other way around. The more ignorant you are, the less a blessing you are. Right? The more ignorant you are, the less a blessing you are. But the less ignorant you are, the more a blessing that you are. So he said that in verse 7. Then from verse 8 to 10, he tells you or lists the diversities that he has spoken about in verse 4. The diversities of gifts, of supernatural abilities. Okay? And I wouldn't have the time to run through all of them. I think I even did that while we were blessing one another in a very brief mode. Okay? So these are abilities that we can walk in to be a blessing to others. Now, in verse 11, he says that all of these abilities works that one and the self-same Spirit. And then it divides or it distributes to, again, every man. Are you following this? Again, 1 Corinthians 12:1, brethren, everybody, right? 1 Corinthians 12:7, every man, right? Then 1 Corinthians 12:11 again, every man. So that's important. That's key. Then from verse 12 all the way to verse 26, that's the conventional way of looking at this, is talks about the ministries, the differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Or maybe to 27. Now, from 28, it is believed that to 30, that those are operations and workings. But let's just leave it that way. That's why I said conventional. Amen? Those are workings. Okay? But a simple way to look at this is this. God gave all of the gifts, and we are many members in Christ. Are you following this? So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit everyone, right? And I've explained that to you. What has been given to you is for the profit of others, right? And then there are different offices where you can be a blessing. So this is simply saying that God will work the gifts in each member of the body of Christ so that they will be established in different offices to be a blessing to all. I can say that again. God will work the gifts in each member of the body so that they will be established in different offices to be a blessing to others. Does that make sense? Praise God. So there may be different abilities, there may be different offices, but God is the one working all of that in each and every one of us so that we can be a blessing to other people. Hallelujah. And one thing we trust God for in this meeting, that there will be the fire of God's Spirit that will rest upon us to become more charismatic in our Christian work. Charismatic simply means that we are seeing the gifts of the Spirit work in our lives every day. Okay? The gifts of the Spirit are working in our lives. So we're going about that. So again, verse 11, every man. Then he talks about the members of the body and he goes on and on. Now, let me just get on to verse 31, which is where I'm going. Verse 31 then says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, in our regular vocabulary, when you say best, you probably are referring to some of a host of other things that are better or higher in quality than the rest. Does that make sense? But not so here. Okay? It's a word that you could either use for better or best. Now, there's a context to the best, but let me leave that so that we don't spend more time tonight. So he doesn't say, pick some out of the gifts and go after them. That's why I pointed that out to you. No, it doesn't suggest that at all. Okay? There's a context to that. Maybe I'll touch that tomorrow. So in verse 31, but covet earnestly. That is a word that you might need to pay attention to. And in the Greek, it's the word zelo. Z-E-L-O-O. Now, literally, it's a word that means to have warmth or feeling for something or against it. To have warmth or feeling for something or against. Now, if we're going to technically unpack that word or unbundle it or explain it or define it, it will be a word that conveys strong emotions. Strong emotions towards a thing. Okay? So that means if someone covets earnestly after something, everybody around them will know. Does that make sense? If someone wants to eat something or is craving for a particular meal, everybody around them will know. Why? Because they will constantly express strong emotions or their warmth or feeling for that thing. The same is true. The opposite, you know, it's a word, not a spiritual word, right? So it could be used for or against. In Acts 7, 9, Acts 17, 5, 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, that word is translated envy. Envy. But in 1 Corinthians 14, 1, you find that word used again and translated as desire. Desire simply means that you want something. And because you want it, you're going after it. Are you with me on this? That you want something. In 1 Corinthians 14, 39, the same word is used. In Galatians 4, 17, to zealously affect. And then it's used again to affect. Okay? When you send a good child to school and he mixes up with bad guys and he comes home with corrupt behavior, I mean, that's obvious, right? You say they have affected you. Right? It means that the guy who used to behave well has changed his behavior. It's obvious. He used to be humble. He used to be respectful. Now he's disrespectful. It's obvious. Affect. To zealously affect you. Are you there? So keep looking at, keep putting this on your mind as we go on. In Galatians 4:18, the same word is used. In James 4 and verse 2, you find the same word used. In Revelation chapter 3, and verse 19, Revelation 3 and 19, you find the same word used, zelo. And then as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So it's a word that will suggest passion, to be filled with passion in your pursuit after something. I'll close now. It's brief. To be filled with passion and zeal because you want something. To be filled with strong emotions and they are being expressed because you are going after something. Amen? When you want something badly, when somebody offers it to you, you don't keep your hands in your pockets and say, are you sure? Should I take it? You are playing jaw. You really don't want it. Amen? When you want something badly, even when they don't want to give you, you assume. Right? Some cannot even wait. You say, is that for me? Right? Okay. Such emotions, this word describes. So when he says covet earnestly, it's not for you to be laid back and say, if the Spirit of God wants, it will help me to function in the working of miracles. That's not coveting earnestly. If the Spirit of God wants, it will help me to speak with tongues. No. If the Spirit of God wants, it will help me to function or walk in the gifts of healing. No! The instructions are there. Go after. With passion. So, if you see this in God's word, then you will not be like the one who has his hands in his pocket and claims to want something, but is not going after it. You go after it. Amen? You go after it. Imagine that you wanted to buy something and then they described the shop or the store to you and then you got there, they were no longer there. And then you asked around, where are these guys? Oh, they moved from here just last week. They're now there. What do you do? Do you turn back or you go? You go, right? Because you want what they have. You don't turn back. You go after it. Aha. Such attitude is required of us when it comes to the things of God. Okay? Now, maybe I should begin to say that perhaps that is the reason why we do not see much of the gifts in demonstrations generally in the lives of believers. Because it is not just because God has given them to you or endowed you with them. It is because he has given you an instruction as well to go after them. Does that make sense? He has given you an instruction to go after them. So like I said, I came to open up your appetite tonight. In Matthew 5 and 6, Lord Jesus says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that word filled, you see the same word in Luke 6 and 21, is a word that means to supply food in abundance. To supply food in abundance. Imagine someone invites you for breakfast, and then you get there, you sit down, you're waiting for the food, and then you see someone coming with 10 loaves of bread, right? And another person with 5 crates of egg, and then you just see coming in with, you know, 3 whole chicken, and you are the only one that is to eat. That's an abundant supply. Are you there? That there's so much that you can take from. So much that the table is filled. What's the word again? Supply of food in abundance. That's that word filled. So Jesus says, if you are hungry and you are thirsty after righteousness, I will supply to you in abundance. Does that make sense? So your hunger qualifies you to be a partaker of the abundant supply. Your hunger qualifies you to be a partaker of the abundant supply. Now, let me show you other meanings of this word filled. Don't forget, Jesus said, they shall be filled. If you are hungry, you will be filled. It's a word that also means to be satisfied. When you eat and you are satisfied. Oh, that was a good meal. It was delicious and I am also full. I cannot take more. I'm satisfied. Okay? Now, again, it's a word that means to eat greedily and in large quantities. To eat greedily and in large quantities. It's also a word that means to swallow, especially with greediness or in large quantities. Again, to swallow, especially with greediness or in large quantities. Again, it also means to fill up to the throat. Are you following this? To fill up to the throat. Now, can you imagine that? That you ate to the point that food is here. There's no way you can get to the stomach. It's filled up from the stomach up until this point. You go like, how are you? Say, fine. But if you say, fine, food can come out. Feel to the throat. Amen? Don't forget, abundant supply of food, right? Now, don't also forget, it's because there was hunger. If you are full, if you have eaten 2 plates of food, and then you go to a table where there's abundance of food, would you be able to eat? No. So, because you were so hungry, and then because there was so much in supply, you were filled to the throat. Are you there? So, the word hunger here is a word that means to be famished. That is, to be in desperate need of food. To be famished or to be in desperate need of food. So it means that your hunger will determine how much of pressing you will need to do, how much of eating you will have to do, how much of drinking you will have to do. But you know, if you're not hungry, you sit by the table, there's an abundant supply, but you won't eat much. You just take maybe one plantain there and then a sip of Chapman there, and then you're done because you're already full. Are you following this? But if you are in desperate need of food and then there's abundant supply, praise God, you will eat till you are filled to the throat. Hallelujah. Till you are filled to the throat. Now, this describes how we must behave in spiritual things. This is a spiritual meeting. All of this is to describe to us our attitude when it comes to the things of God. So we started by saying, don't be ignorant. That is, you must be informed. Then you must know what to do with the information that you have. Then you must know how to recognize the things of God in demonstration or when they're in manifestation,
and you know how to relate with them or yield to them. And then we saw every man. We saw again in 31 that we ought to covet earnestly. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says follow after. Is it what that means to pursue? To pursue. Imagine someone grabs something that belongs to you, and then you have the privilege to run after them. What would you do? You will run and get your thing back. That is the attitude when it comes to spiritual things that we must have, that you and I must have. Not to show up at the table where there is an abundant supply of food and then we're refusing to eat. No. And I trust, Lord, that that will not be your story this meeting. You will not sit like someone who is full. You will sit hungry. And you will be filled to the throat in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will eat and eat and eat and eat. So he says, follow after. Don't forget the word zelo that shows strong emotions. So in a meeting like this, you can't sit down emotionless. Okay, let's see when the meeting will end. Let's see how things are going. No. You act on God's word. What the Spirit is saying to do, you yield to it with strong emotions. Praise God. With strong emotions. So, how desirous are you? In 1 Corinthians 39, it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Imagine someone, maybe you were standing somewhere and then someone runs from afar and you're watching the person running like a mad dog and he runs all the way to you and he says, brother, I want to prophesy to you. Can you imagine that in your mind? That's how you must participate in Christian meetings. Before we close, we'll still minister to ourselves. And I want to see stronger emotion and passion. Amen? We're instructed in God's word, covet to prophesy. Covet it. Be eager to prophesy. I mean me to say, you know, prophesy like a mad dog. Pursue the things of the Spirit. Go after it. You want to see all the gifts? Go after it. Say, God, if it is your will. No! He has said in his word that that is what he wants. So how much of desire is in your heart? Stand to your feet. Let's close tonight. How much of it is in your heart? How much of desires do you have? How much of it? I want you to hold one person and pray together. Just one. One person.